Hello, I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola, I am Lanice Castro.
Sawadee ka, I'm Asama Lekpua.
And we are The Triplicates. Welcome to the second season of The Triplicates podcast. We are three first-gen women of color completing the second year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
Last episode, we talked about the new things that second year brought into our life and what has continued from first year. But today,
yeah, we'll be talking about some spooky science stories since Halloween is coming up.
Woo! Halloween!
That's scary.
Yes, I definitely have some lab horror stories, but does anyone want to go first?
Do these have to be like our own or like from what we've heard?
Okay.
And can we name institutions?
Oh, I don't know. Let's, nothing illegal, maybe?
Yeah. Something vague, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking like...
Nothing illegal?
Things that I have done that is like, oh, what a horrible thing to have happen to you while in lab.
For legal reasons, we've done none of these.
I don't know. I just like used the wrong buffer.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff, okay. You know? Not like
can't incriminate
I stole
yourself.
Anything.
Well, do you get me? Like, what if our EHS officer watches this and he's like,
oh,
excuse me.
We don't have to say which lab we're in.
I agree.
I've been in
I would
like
be
seven
flattered if he watches because oh. I feel like he doesn't like any of us.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Okay. Go ahead. You can take it.
Oh, my God. That's Christopher.
Hello?
Hello?
Tell him we're recording.
Hold on. Hello? Okay. Well, back on track, Amanda. Since you are so excited, and there's many things that I see you want to talk about.
I picked three.
You can do one.
Okay. Yeah. So I think one of I think this is more a horror story for the grad student that I worked for at the time, but she had some like samples. That she had done a protein curve to see like what the concentration was. And then she thinks that maybe one of the samples were like rearranged in the wrong order or like on the like line 7 maybe wasn't actually what she thought line 7 was. Mm. So she was like, here are the proteins. If you just rerun the proteins and write it down again, we can match like the protein concentrations from your thing to my thing and then like confirm what the protein concentration was. And I was like, yeah. And, you know, I was a second year undergrad and I was like, I know that freeze thawing samples is bad for the samples.
For sure.
So I did not let it thaw all the way. I just let it thaw like a little bit and then took some liquid off the top and then put it in the little protein curve. None of those numbers were correct.
Okay, so you didn't put the icicles in the assay.
No, I did not put the icicles in the assay, but like
that would have been hilarious.
No, my gosh.
Let me take the top layer of this.
Yeah,
liquid,
I was like probably just water.
It's going to barely like represent the entire population.
Yeah, so
you live and you learn.
Yeah, that I don't think my grad student had a good day that day.
I'm so
sorry.
But did she graduate?
She did. She got another.
Did she need it? Was it like an essential experiment?
No. It's just like a protein curve. Like we did a lot of Westerns. So it's like just to know how much protein to put in the, you know, like that kind of thing.
Mm. Oh,
it wasn't
wow.
serious, but like it was a silly thing for me to do.
It's okay.
That's why you need to clearly tell people what to do and not assume that they know what they're doing.
That's true. Never assume.
Yeah. Anybody?
Lanice,
popcorn?
Okay, I can go. Yeah. I guess like I was, so we knew we were going to do this episode mm-hmm. since a little while ago. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, I was like, I have horror stories maybe, but I can't like remember any of them. Mm-hmm. But you know how, people tell like ghost stories to like warn you to not do things in order to avoid these silly little mistakes. I feel like I have the equivalent to like for science, right? I am deathly afraid of the autoclave.
Oh,
or like
you think
even
it's gonna
big
explode?
Centrifuges. Yeah, because one time I was at an internship and she was like, yeah, you have to be really careful or you can like blow half the building up.
Oh,
and I'm like,
They're basically big pressure cookers.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. So I guess like if things go wrong,
yeah,
it can. But so that's why when I came here and I had to use the autoclave for the first time by myself, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to blow up the whole building if I don't do everything correct.
Yeah.
So I was so scared to use it, which it's fair. Like the autoclaves are scary and they can do damage.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's safety things in protocols and whatever to avoid that. But there's that one. And also the centrifuge. So not the tabletop centrifuges.
The big ones.
But the big ones that are on the floor.
They like, have like ultra centrifuge, like all these.
Yeah. And those are, I don't know. There was one time that I put my samples in and I thought it was balanced.
Classic undergrad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did it not stop
automatically? It was not balanced. I mean, I don't remember. I was panicked. So I was like, stop.
Depends on like the safety feature. Like, sometimes they can stop automatically when they like send something.
As soon as it started kind of shaking, I was like, stop. I was freaking out. So if it was automatically stopping, I wouldn't know because I immediately pressed stop.
Okay, well, it's good that you were there.
You were fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait for your centrifuges to get to the highest speed. Mm-hmm. Or at least halfway
keep
there.
Keep your hand on there.
Yeah. Unless it's an hour.
No, to get to the highest
speed. Just to get to the first.
Yeah, wait till it hits the G's and then you go.
Actually, with the autoclave, when I was trained, they said like wait until the autoclave reaches like the temperature and like continues to do like the next step because most of the times, like depending on the model, but the one I was using, they said like when it fails, it's like within the first like step of trying to reach pressure and temperature.
Yeah, okay. Same.
How long does that take?
I don't know, like 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So you're just like, okay.
Just like, yeah.
At least yours is like in the same general room. Like,
yeah, the one I have right now. But like before in undergrad, it was like
down the hall.
In the basement.
Oh no.
Yeah. And the autoclaves would be like as big as like a deli fridge. And it was the kind that you like slide up and like pull something out.
Yeah.
Kind of like a morgue.
Slide up or like the twisty.
Oh, we had both.
Are wild
the
too.
Twisty is kind of scary because they're like, well, make sure it's not too tight, not too loose. Yeah. And I'm like,
I'd rather have the little sliding door.
I'm 19. I don't know what that means.
I'm 19. Bro, they trust us.
Well, they don't trust us. They gave us safety training and then let us do stuff.
Well, they give everyone safety training.
Yeah. Mm. I will say, okay, I have another horror story, and this is maybe something
related.
This is like actually bad though. Like I did a bad thing. And it was not my fault. It's because I was improperly supervised, I think.
Oh.
I would run gels all the time. And I didn't know the light was bad for you. Yeah. And I think that's why I have glasses now. Because I would just look into UV light.
Oh, no.
With your naked eyes.
With my naked eyes.
Oh, no.
Did it not hurt?
No.
Oh, okay. You were like, I'm invincible.
It didn't have anything see on colors. It, not even like...
It had a cover? Removable shield.
But
it,
you
like,
would
it wasn't attached.
Shields.
Yeah. Oh. I thought it was just to like... keep it covered.
Oh,
I know.
No.
I told my PI this too. We have a blue light box in our... We don't even have a UV light in our lab anymore. So I'm like, yeah, I...
But like, how did you find out that you were doing it not safe?
I took another safety training.
Okay.
And they were like, don't look into the UV. And I was like,
oh no.
Why did no one give me UV glasses? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. Not even a... Yeah, no.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see some people, they have UV glasses and then the shields.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't have any of these things. No one gave them to me. Anyways, it's fine.
Aww.
It's fine. I got health insurance now. We good.
Nah.
What? Glasses are expensive.
They are. I agree.
Okay, let's see. So I also couldn't really remember a lot of like silly like mishap and like all these things. But I was in my first lab and I was trying to learn how to save these bacteria in the freezer in order to like go back and use them later. And my grad student mentor said, okay, here's how the system works. Like each box has 81 slots and we're going to start from this number in this box. Mm-hmm. And here are the tubes I put for you. So on the first one, put 496. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to come back later. You sit here and label tubes. And I'm like, glamorous. And then when he came back, I labeled the entire box 496.
Oh, no.
And he was like, this is wrong. And I'm like, oh, I have to go to class now.
Okay,
sorry.
Bye.
And then he had to fix all my mistakes.
Oh no.
Well, but he should have
instructed you correctly.
He should have said
more clear instructions.
Yeah. 496, 497. No, he was like, start from 496. I'll be back.
Start from 496 and then label them in an ascending order. It's the classic make a PBJ with only the instructions on the paper. He didn't give you the right instructions.
That's true.
Wait, there's an instruction with making PB&J.
There's like a you've never done that? There's like a like
we don't eat that in Thailand, but yes, do tell us.
Or like any like team building thing, they'll make you share a paper.
Oh.
And like write how you make a PB&J and then have the other person follow exactly what you wrote.
Is this like a scientific method paper?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god,
like
I
that.
Love that.
That's fun. We love team never building. Done that.
We makes love sense. Team building.
But yeah. So yeah. That was not a fun one. But it's okay because I wasn't fired on the spot. And then I kept working with them again for like 3 years.
It's fine.
Until I graduate.
You know
we're
what?
Still good friends.
I think like when you have undergrads in the lab, you just expect them to mess up. Like just this is all learning for them. And a lot of learning is making mistakes. So yeah.
What?
I remembered a horror story. Oh, but it's not something I
like to
did.
Share.
It's okay.
It's okay. You can share.
Okay.
Exciting.
So the way that... So I was in a microbiome lab in undergrad and we did a lot of 16S sequencing. But when we went to sequence the samples, we would send it to the core or whatever at UCLA. And what you do is you do this whole process before you send it to sequencing. You like extract the DNA, you amplify it, you purify it. And then at the end, you pull all your samples because they're barcoded with a unique barcode that'll allow you to read all the samples. But you pull them all in one tube. Mm-hmm. And I remember, this is, I think it was 1 1/4 and it's like finals week. Mm-hmm. And I had pulled all my samples and I sent it off. And then I get a email or a text from my grad mentor. He's like, they lost your samples. And I was like, what do you mean you lost my tubes? I was so mad, bro.
How did they lose
your
samples?
I was freaking out. I was studying for finals. I am under the impression that all my samples are gone. Like, literally years of work.
Yeah.
It ended up being fine. They found them. But okay. Jesus. Like, if you think I'm stressed now, imagine me at that moment.
Oh, no.
I have, like, a Snapchat memory that comes up every single time that happens. And now I can laugh about it.
Yeah. At the time, it was not
fun. But at the time, it was not fun. So that's a horror story.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
Do you have something right now? Do you have another story?
Oh, I have plenty. I like when you're like, I can't think of anything. I'm like, I literally remember everything I've ever done wrong in lab ever.
Like wow.
I it's just so I won't make the mistake twice, you know? You just gotta
I feel like I have selective memory.
Yeah. I know. I wish
that's
I could
my healing
forget.
Process.
I wish I could forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did an internship and we were doing flow cytometry, which requires single cells. And we would take the tissue and then do a bunch of stuff to it to get it to be a single cell. And some of the steps involve a centrifuge. And the centrifuge that I was using was a little old.
Mm-hmm.
So we lost a lot of the cells because they didn't like pellet down. So when you like pour off the liquid, a lot of the cells were still in the liquid. And then one time I accidentally used like the wrong centrifuge for 2 of the samples that we were doing flow on and the right centrifuge for the other 2 samples. So I literally got a comparison of how many cells I lost. And it was like over 4 million cells per tissue.
Oh, no.
I'm like, yeah, that one was rough. And then,
oof.
Yeah, and this is why I did not have a good time. I loved this internship. It was like when I was in Boston. And I was like unhappy in Boston. It was like not the place for me. So
first thing I've heard of.
What?
No, she said this.
Nothing.
Before.
I'm kidding. Oh,
first time you've heard someone say
that they don't like Boston.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm the only one that hates Boston.
Just kidding. I'm from Boston.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Everyone.
My
like,
next story is
Boston.
About
okay.
the very same institution.
Oh my.
You continue.
Yeah. So, one time I think we took, it must have been like 16, maybe 20 mice, like samples from 20 mice, and I used the wrong centrifuge, and I didn't realize until later, and I'm like, I lost like, I don't know, most of whatever. Like
oh,
it was
no.
like, so, it was so bad. And I remember going home, it was like 9 p.m. And I remember going home and just like crying. Cause I'm like, bro, how did I make the same mistake twice? And that's where
no,
I remember all my mistakes.
Cry. Never
it's okay.
cry over science.
I know, but like.
Sometimes it just really
you're
gets
not like,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Like you're, it was like a crying out of frustration of like, oh, I know better. And like, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah.
And It's like an internship at like this fancy institution. You want to make a good impression. Mm-hmm. It's like the impression I gave them is that I used the wrong centrifuge.
Oh, that's okay. Maybe they should not.
What if they forget?
Why don't they just unplug the centrifuge? Put a different centrifuge in the cell culture room.
Exactly. Bro, the day that I stop crying out of frustration, it's over for y'all.
Listen, I wish.
There was this one time. Okay, I don't know. I know Sama might understand this feeling, but you get through like a thing. Like you're doing a bunch of bacterial culture and you want to then you've done this whole process and then you finally want to plate your cultures.
Yeah.
Have you ever forgot to dry your plate?
Oh,
and
no.
And it's like a time sensitive thing and you're like, bro, do you work with bacteria?
Like before?
No, not anymore.
Like dry it before you plate it?
Yeah. Oh, or do you not dry your plates?
Well, it's condensation. Depends. Yeah.
Like it's been in the cold room.
Down, yeah, no? yeah. How do you dry your plates?
The table? Yeah, but you don't stack them in the fridge upside down?
Yes.
It's still, but they're in the cold room for forever. So
when they
still
come
gonna,
out, they
yeah.
sweat a little.
Oh.
Yeah. How do you usually dry your plates?
I flip it upside down with the lid and then I just like
the lid on the bottom.
Yeah, the lid on the bottom.
And then you put it at like room temperature?
Yeah, but I open it a little.
Oh.
Can you just like,
I don't put it
at
room temp. I put it in the hot, in the
warm
plate,
incubator.
Warm room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that, but some people are like, you can do that, but in the BSC, because like all the airflow, like the biosafety cabinet, like the hood,
yeah.
because all the airflow like helps the sweat wicking situation.
Wow. Yeah. But yeah, so that's,
often.
I remember one time I did that and then because of that, everything got pushed back.
No.
And I didn't leave lab until like 11 at night. And it was like one of the last few days that I was actually also in Boston.
Yeah.
So I was like, bro, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because I had to do cereal daily.
Did you like Boston?
I did.
Did you
I
like
liked
Boston?
It enough to go again, but
like on purpose.
I feel like I like it enough. Like,
yeah.
Like it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my education from there. Got my biotech training from there.
Yeah.
Met my partner
there.
My family's there.
Yeah.
My friends are there.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. I think Boston.
Good enough things going
home.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact,
I would go back.
Does this thing say Boston? It says Boston.
I don't know if I would.
I love it that much.
Not even a visit.
No, I'll go. And like the dancing at Boston was so great. Like
that's something I never got to.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
For your loss.
Yeah, I was a child.
That was like the best.
We called
dancing.
It being in daycare because everyone else was of age.
Daycare expensive. Was your daycare free?
Yes. Well, I was paying for my room to live in Boston.
Well,
I didn't pay, but
okay.
My first summer, they paid directly to the people to have
a
room. And then the next summer, they give you an increased stipend so that you,
you can pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. So I did not want to live in the dorms that they had us housed in because I was scarred by the mice.
Oh, no, not the mice.
And so the second summer I went back, I just subleased. I was like, did not see a mouse once in that apartment.
I love
that
for you.
Okay. Yeah. So in preparation for this episode, had asked people like, hey, have you ever heard of any spooky or horror stories? And they were like, no, luckily, ha ha ha. But have you heard of that 2009 coffee poisoning event at a big institution at Harvard, which, by the way, is on ABC News. So
a coffee poisoning event in 2009?
Don't take coffee away from me.
At a big fancy medical institution in Boston.
On Fenway, by any chance?
Yeah, in the Longwood area. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So maybe some of you know about this already, but in brief, people were like, so there's this sort of like communal, like coffee or like lunchroom on this floor on the like pathology like unit, and usually someone makes coffee and then you're like, okay, yeah, there's a pot of coffee, let me go like get some. And then so people did that and put in, you know, their usual like sugar and milk or whatever, and then nothing happened yet until this one person, Mateo.
Usually, we're naming names.
I mean, he's named in the ABC article.
He's on ABC News.
He's on ABC News.
Drinks his coffee black. And then he's like, something's going on. Like, this coffee tastes bad, but like worse than usual.
Oh.
And they, you know, like, he drank his coffee and then he's like, you know what? Maybe this is just a bad batch. I'm not going to continue drinking it. Mm-hmm. But other people that had like a cup already started to like sweat, started fainting. They were dizzy. And people were like, this is unusual.
Yes.
So long story short, they did a toxicology study and found sodium azide in that pot of coffee, which is a chemical that's usually like used to poison or like kill bacteria.
Did they find how it got in there?
To kill bacteria. So it must have been
like a cleaning.
But it's like a very to kill bacteria in your experiment. So it's like very specific, like potent
and that's
activity.
Why you take your gloves off.
but so my friend who told me about this story was training in this program during like her PhD at this institution. Mm-hmm. And she said that someone did that on purpose.
And they didn't catch who it was.
The people.
That sounds very illegal. You could have killed somebody. Mm-hmm.
It's very illegal. That's why ABC News is like, oh, this is a good news story.
Oh, no.
But in case
okay, what is the end of the article? Did they figure out who it was?
I didn't have enough time. Can we look?
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. Concentration of sodium azide. Also, every lab has it. Very common. This guy's like, oh, I drink my coffee black because I'm Italian and I knew something was up.
Love that.
Blah, blah, blah. Two people fainted. Six people got hurt in one way or another.
The eighth floor coffee machine.
The spokesman for this medical school said,
we are now going to the Starbucks downstairs.
We're not connected to this.
I'm dead.
That's so funny.
Well, I'm glad the Chemex is in my office.
Okay, but that's the thing. Like our floor, we have a coffee pot for the floor. I don't drink coffee. So this is never going to happen to me. But
yeah,
there's a little nerve wracking that we just be drinking things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, communal areas are now ruined for me.
Yeah. Thanks, Susama. Yeah.
Well, it was for me before because I'm a germaphobe and because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Never
take a free donut.
No. Whoa.
Oh!
Or anything.
This is too much for me. Sorry. It's about to be Halloween. I want to eat all the free candy.
This is
free
too
candy
spooky.
From where?
What do you mean? I don't know. I like parties and stuff. They have the candy.
You're going to a party?
Oh, not I. I'm not going to a party. We're in a pandemic.
Anyway, if you do go to a party, make sure everyone's vaccinated and be safe. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
So let me. Does anyone else have any other stories?
Oh, can I share stories about poop?
Oh yeah,
sure.
It's kind of like silly slash a bit like scary at times. Okay. So before, similar to Lenise, I also had my undergrad slash pre grad school background in microbiome and. You know, one of the places to really like dive into this sort of environment is in the gut. And Lenise said yes. But Lenise did fish gut, which is like really cool. I did human gut, which is like cool. But sometimes you have like people line up outside your lab waiting to poop for you.
Oh, no.
So
do you stand outside the door and be like, are you
actually,
done? Did you have a good one?
Yeah. And then, well... Unfortunately, I was not involved in the like, hi, here's your poop bucket, like part of things because I was doing science stuff. Kind of. Like, it's super fun.
So you're a germaphobe, but you want to handle people's poop?
Not like with my bare hands.
Oh, gross.
But I want to talk to them about their poop because I think psychom. Anyways, so we basically were working on a poop project and we would, as one does, like go to conferences about like microbiome stuff, blah, 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 exchange stories.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, this is again at the same unnamed institution as the poison coffee place.
Oh no, well, I think we kind of...
What's done is done.
But someone told me that someone from also a microbiome lab was transporting... a poop sample from a donor to like their lab.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like so frustrated that they like crack open that container, smear the poop all over the elevator and left.
Allegedly. Oh no.
But it's a...
Bro.
It's a known story. In this circle, at this place, during that era.
Yeah, but is it like, did it really happen? Or is it just like a thing people tell like...
I can try to find an ABC News story for you.
Please.
Facts.
That's so funny.
Okay, well, not as bad. but still related to poop since I also did microbiome research. I love conferences. I love talking to people to an extent because I'm shy. But at conferences, you sit at the dinner table, right? Like with a bunch of people you usually don't know, maybe a couple friends.
Yeah.
And you're like eating dinner or like dessert. I love my research, but I hated having to be like,
I do poop.
I do poop. Yeah, like I research poop. Like that's what I have to talk about. Mm-hmm. So that was like always like at conferences. So
not
a horror story, but kind of like
We always talk about poop at my company, the poop company.
Yeah, I feel like at that point you're like,
And like they were so into it that you would wear like a mascot. A poop emoji costume mascot like once a month and hold up a golden plunger and like announce like, oh, giving a shout out to this person, that person.
That and, like,
well, hopefully everyone in the company pooped that much. But it's like,
check your bowel movements.
It's like announcements. And I thought it was so cute. And the best part I thought was that if you're like employee of the month, you're called a Bristol 4. Do you know what that means?
Oh, isn't that the scale of like how good your poop is?
The scale of how, it's the scale of how good and perfect compost your poop is.
I hope no one's eating dinner. I'm so sorry. Yes, Amanda? Comments? Concerns?
I am concerned.
And I think they get like a poop sequencing like kit. As a prize, so they can know exactly
sequence their microbiome.
Which is fun.
That's another entire microbiome.
Just whatever.
You probably lose a lot of.
Anyways, that was enough conversation about poop. I think
I'm just getting started. Sorry.
No, I have nothing to say. Would like to move on.
Okay, I know me and Osama have essentially just taken over the conversation.
No, you're totally fine.
But like,
I mean, I never do usually.
Osama, isn't there like a ghost in your building?
Oh my God, there's a ghost in your building?
Oh my gosh, yes! Okay, so when I was rotating the older grad students who have been there for like a couple years said, hey, like, do you work nights by any chance? Like, make sure that someone's there with you just so you know there's, like, an accountability partner, which is a safe thing to do because I was new.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, okay, thanks so much, blah, blah, blah. And as time goes on, people were like, oh, have you heard of the ghost? And I'm like, what ghost? Who? What do they look like?
What ghost?
And apparently one of the labs on our floor, the Madigan lab, would sometimes have, like, unusual like time points, like at the 12 hour or 13 hour, so maybe they have to come in at like 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. to like take care of their science. And some people have reported seeing this like blonde Caucasian man individual in a lab coat.
What?
Just like,
isn't this a new building too?
It is a new building. Who died in this building?
Yeah, but every building has some sort of...
Yeah, yeah. We built on the land of other people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That's facts.
But I was like, oh, maybe they're just like being silly because they're staring at the microscope for a long time.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just seeing things.
Yeah.
So I just like didn't pay attention too much about that. But recently I had been doing this time point situation as well where it's like a 13 hour. So I would go in at like maybe 7 or 8 p.m. And I'm in my teacher culture room, which has a swing door that has to be activated to like open. It's not just like out as part of the main lab. And usually I can tell if someone is coming to use like equipment or like some other things in the room because the door will click when it's like senses someone or something there. So I was there at night and I heard the door clicking and I was like, oh, just come in. Like, I'm just here.
No, don't come in.
And then no one said anything because like during COVID, like we wanted people to feel safe, like have properly
like
distance space.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, if you don't feel comfortable with someone being in that room with you, like if you say no, we won't bother you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that person didn't hear me. So I was like, okay, whatever. They'll just wait. And then when I'm done, I got out and I'm like, okay.
Hello?
Are you there? And no one was there. I checked the calendar. No one signed up.
Oh, no.
I walked through all the rooms, like the back rooms, the office. No one was there. So I'm like, what motion was it sensing?
I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
So it's possible that it's faulty, but...
Does this ever happen in the daytime?
No.
Oh, babe.
And no one else has noticed it. Or when it happens in the daytime, when I hear the click, I'm like, oh, someone's at the door. I come out, someone's there. And they're like, oh, yeah, we were just waiting to see if you would feel safe for us to come in. So I don't know. I think I have a friend and it's kind of nice.
We're befriending Casper.
Can you help me do my serial dilution? That would be great.
If you ask me and I don't have any, if I'm not in the middle of anything, I will go to, with you to
So
lab.
You can scream with me?
I'm scared, bro.
Okay. You got to tell the ghost to leave you alone. You can't say, come in. Come in, ghosty. Be my friend.
I mean, I'm going to be here for the next 5 years. I want to be on like.
On good terms with the ghost?
Yeah. It's fine.
That's one way to do
packing
it.
Packing my bags.
That's one way to do it. Could not be me. Could not be me.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's a great story.
That was great. On. A great story to end on.
thank you for sharing, all of you, with us all, the stories, ghost related or not. And I'm happy that we were able to tell you guys some spooky stories pre-Halloween. Or right when is this coming out?
The 29th.
The 29th. So yeah, pre-Halloween. Great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's take a quick break before we say goodbye.
Sainted Factory is a Black-owned skincare brand that prides itself in providing natural, homemade products.
If you are a skincare buff and love to have the taste of luxury at home on a university budget, these products suit those needs.
They have 3 scented exfoliating scrubs that are catered to help different skin conditions.
As you head into another school year, having a scrub that not only nourishes your body, but also helps you relax after long days are a must.
Yeah.
And now you can use our code, TriplicatesPod10, for 10% off your order.
Yeah. Wow. We love that.
And you can get them on saintedfactory.com. They're really cute. I use them a lot. Treat yourself.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Before we go, we wanted to ask, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, I go first?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, I have a group costume at Amanda.
Oh, and is it a group if it's just two of us?
Would have been Lanise too, but she's occupied.
I'll be out of town.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell them?
Yeah. We're going to be the Winx fairies.
Yeah.
The Winx Club fairies.
I'm going to be Musa.
Yes, I'm going to be Aisha, who is also Layla, depending on which version of the Winx Club you watched. But
cool. I already got my like items.
So. Yes, I can send you.
I want to see. I've essentially seen your outfit, but I want to see yours.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out if I like should go all out with the shoes.
Yes,
but
yes.
Then it like doesn't get cold here, so I'm like, well, if I just buy like.
Doesn't get cold here.
Something.
I'm cold. I'm cold all the time.
I'm wearing the most.
So, yeah, booty, maybe.
I don't know.
We can discuss after the show.
Maybe we can go shopping or something. I've been looking at red boots.
Why are you down when you're not here?
I will go shopping with her before the event.
The
event that's this weekend?
Well, okay. When is she going to go? Stop yelling
at me. I'm sorry.
Okay, but the thing is, like, I feel like Flora, like you already have clothes for Flora. So maybe we could just like dress up for something.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. Okay, there's anyways, Amanda.
I'm going to be Aisha from the Winx Club. And then I might also be a demon slayer, who's also a demon who slays other demons.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's like the guy from Charmed.
Who?
He's a demon. And he also slays other demons.
Oh.
No. Charmed?
I didn't watch Charmed. I was giving Mazikeen from Lucifer.
Oh, yeah.
That was what I was giving.
Wait, so can people just show up as demons or demon slayers? Or
you can show up as whatever you want.
It's Eldritch Aberrant, whatever that means.
I didn't know what that meant.
I didn't know what it meant either.
Sabrina, the Chronicles of, or what is it called?
Is
I don't know. The Sabrina, the Netflix one, not the old one.
Yeah.
Anywho's.
Anyways, it's fine.
I will not be the Winx.
No, that's okay.
Fairy. Although I really would have loved to be, but alas, I will be out of town. But I'll be Sabrina from Sabrina, yeah. Teenage Witch, or whatever.
Whatever.
The new one
yeah.
is.
Whatever. Yeah.
I forget what
I
it's
think
called.
It is the Chronicles of Sabrina.
It might be. Oh, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, I was like, there's yeah. a C in there.
So I'll be. I had a bunch of things that kind of match her aesthetic. That's so
ooh.
I'm excited.
Cute.
I'm just not
Love
blonde.
That.
You don't have to but. Be.
Here we are.
It's okay. Mm.
Okie dokie. All so, right.
Are we ready to round out the show?
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
want to run some observations? Do some statistics?
I mean, of course. It makes me a good scientist.
Yeah.
So the question is, how many PhD students in our study would rather handwrite notes from a PowerPoint or make PowerPoints from handwritten notes?
Mm. Reading somebody else's handwriting?
No, thank you.
Writing my own. I feel like I trained to write notes from PowerPoints, like handwrite yeah. notes from PowerPoints.
Yeah.
I feel like I could do that.
Well, yeah, it's like watching a lecture. No?
Yeah.
This is in the context of like lectures, right? And not like giving so. A talk.
No, I don't think you have to give a talk.
Okay.
I've definitely had slides written out what I want to say. Mm. They weren't my slides and then given the presentation. So I'd rather do that.
I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Like it was someone else's slides. Yeah. I handwrote notes on how to give the presentation based on the slides.
Oh, mm-hmm. And you're like,
and then gave the presentation. Like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I gave it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
Because they wrote my slides.
Yes. I see.
Oh, I was
see.
There.
So you so handwrote notes on the slides. And gave,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to handwrite notes.
I would say depending on the purpose. Like if I'm in a lecture, I would rather...
Don't
be
know.
The one writing my own shorthand or like yeah. trying to conceptualize stuff. But if I'm giving a talk, I think I prefer making slides.
Yeah.
Because I can draw all the pictures, especially with like biological processes. Pictures are so powerful.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Linnies?
So, I don't...
66?
So, you already
I guess. So, which way? What did you say?
I said handwriting.
Okay. So 66% of our PhD students would rather handwrite notes from a PowerPoint, while 33% would rather make a PowerPoint from handwritten notes. And
this
that is
the dissenter.
Fair.
It's
is that statistically significant? Sorry.
Well, we have an N of 3, so yeah. really anything that we do would barely be statistically significant. And some would argue that that's wrong. Anyways.
I mean, we're not really independent samples.
That's
we're
fair.
Pretty much linked.
We have two yeah. brain cells.
That's,
no,
that's true.
that we share.
Wait, did you see someone like entered in their department Halloween pumpkin carving competition with like two brain cells? Because they're like neuroscientists and also like...
Oh, that's cute.
We got two brain cells.
Hilarious. Yeah.
That's fun.
Okay, so... Osama?
Cool. So if there's any other topic you would like to hear from us, just let us know.
You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and on TikTok Ooh. At triplicatespod. And you can email us at triplicatespod@gmail.com. If you like us, support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod. And with that.
Obrigada y chao.
Gracias y adiós.
Kapunka. Bye.
Woo!
Alrighty. We should have a dance party.